Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, Lord, let us always remember that we are in your presence. As you reside in us, Lord, Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. And now, Lord, we ask that the Holy Spirit just do a work in each one of us as we hear your word, Father. I ask that you just use me to speak your words, Father. And we just pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Good morning. I know a couple of weeks ago, Andrew was talking about trying to stay within a certain area for the camera. And if anybody's watching this at home, you're only going to see half of me half the time because I just can't. I can't stay still. So, but it's going to probably be a lot shorter sermon than I thought because I was thinking about using some stories from when I was growing up about how shy and innocent I was, but my mom and dad are here, so I might have to get rid of those. So anyway, we're going to look today at the power of God, the power of prayer, and the power of praise. And we're going to be in primarily 2 Chronicles chapter 20 is where we're going to be at. So we can all turn there, and when we get there, say amen. Oh, come on now. Amen. All right, so we'll read the first few verses, and then we'll talk about them, and we'll go on like that through the rest of the teaching. Chapter 20, verse 1, it says, "It happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, 'A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi.' And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord." So here we see in chapter 20, three nations are coming against Judah. They're coming together to fight against them. The odds seem impossible. The nation of Moab, Ammon, and the Edomites are all coming against them. They've all been known to be fierce warriors. Ruthless warriors that don't just take over and conquer, but they destroy cities. Not only that, but Jehoshaphat gets the word that they've already crossed the Dead Sea. That's how close they are to us. We're about to be invaded by three armies. But just like King Jehoshaphat, you and I face challenges in our life every day. Jehoshaphat had the three armies coming against him. Our armies may be vocational, work-related. They may be job-related or financial. They may be relational. We all have had that a teenager at one time or another that just causes a little hate and discontent. We've all been there ourselves. I can't say I've never caused trouble to mom and dad because they're here now. But I was at least trouble. But we all face those situations. We all come under attack. Nobody is exempt. Nobody. Everybody in here knows what I'm talking about. Fortunately, we serve a God who is interested in our problems, who is interested in our battles. And more importantly, he is able to take care of them. He is able to alleviate all situations that we come under if we just follow his word. When trouble looms, we see Jehoshaphat, the first thing he does is go to prayer. Hallelujah. Prayer is always a good first step to take. But we have to make sure we have a foundation for prayer. We can't have, I like to call them hit and run prayers. When we face that trial and all of a sudden we're like, Lord, help me out of this. Boom, it's over. No. That is not how we want to go to our Lord. We want to know the power of our God and that He is capable of taking care of any situation that we have. We need to know that. Just like Jehoshaphat, he faced an enormous situation, a challenge that was above and beyond. Three different armies were coming against him. They were going to wage war at the same time against him. He didn't have a chance. Most leaders under that situation would have crumbled, or they would have made some hasty decisions that would have caused even worse things to happen. But Jehoshaphat was a wise king. And what did he do? Can you hear me? All right. Woo. Let's try this again. So anyway, Jehoshaphat was a wise king. He wasn't using modern technology. Here he faces these three challenges from these armies, and what's he do? He seeks the Lord. He doesn't deny the fact that he was afraid. He doesn't just do something reckless and strike out against his enemies. Instead, he knew that God was interested in his battle. God was interested in his problems. And he turned his attention to seek the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast throughout the land. Later, when we get to the book of Jonah, we'll see how powerful a fast in the land can be. We'll see how powerful prayer can be in another story. But Jehoshaphat knew that God was greater than any earthly problem that you or I or that he was facing. He knew that God had done miraculous things for Abraham, for Isaac, and Jacob. He knew that he had lifted up David, Moses. He knew this. And he trusted the same God would help him in his hour of need. We, you and I, should never underestimate the Lord's interest in our battles, in our affairs. He helped our ancestors in the Bible. We look at how they were. We talked a little bit about it this morning. Before we look at King David, he was an adulterer. He was a murderer. And yet, God was there for him. Moses was disobedient to the Lord. And yet, God calls him friend. It doesn't matter what situation you're in, what you've done. You need to know that God is there for you today. And whatever situation you are facing, he will and can help his children today. You know, a lot of times it's easy to think our problems are too small for our God. We can think that they're unimportant to him in our eyes. He doesn't feel that way. Nowhere in here does it say, come to me when your problems are big. It says, come to me. It says, seek me. It doesn't say, come to me when you can't pay the rent, when you can't make your house payment, when your husband or wife has left you, it says, come to me. Whatever concerns us concerns him. If we, like Jehoshaphat, seek God and proclaim his power, his almighty power, he will intervene. We serve a good and powerful God. No matter how great our challenges are, God is greater. And we need to know that. Let's go to verse 5. It says, then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand, is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? God is the ruler of heaven and earth. Whatever happens on earth happens because God allows it. We don't always understand why. We don't have to understand why. God allows it. Unfortunately, man has made a choice, as we see in this world, to follow the one who currently rules this earth, who has dominion over this earth, and that is Satan. God is not going to interfere with your choice or their choice on who to rule over them. He is going to let you and I make the choice, who do we want to rule over us, and then step back and let us go through whatever we want to go through. That's the choice that he is allowing us to make because he is a good God. He is not going to force his will upon us. If we look at the first verse, please, 1 Corinthians 18 and 2 Corinthians. But even if our gospel, the good news, is veiled. It is veiled to those who are perishing, for whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. It is perishing. The people are perishing because they do not know the word of God or they don't want to believe it. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Hallelujah. The power of God. We are saved because of what he did on the cross, and he is ready and willing to take care of us here as we need to be. God allows Satan to rule on this earth. Satan knows that, and he knows his time is short. He knows his time is short, so he is causing as much hate and discontent on this earth to take as many as he can to the pit of hell. But we've got the power of God, and we don't have to worry about that. The Bible tells us that when God comes back to establish his kingdom, righteousness is going to cover the ground like the waters cover the sea. How awesome is that going to be? Nothing but righteousness. We look out now, we read the paper, we see the news, and all we do is shake our heads and wonder, geez, what is going on? God knows. He's in control. So King Jehoshaphat is proclaiming, the power and might are in your hands, God. No one can stand against you, as we read in verse 6. No one can stand against you. Jehoshaphat is praising God and at the same time reminding him of his glory, of his greatness. As you and I, as we call out to the Lord and we pray, remind yourself of God's mercy. Remind God of his mercy. Talk to him about his grace and recall his mighty power and what he has done for you already. And find comfort in that. Be lifted up to know what he has already done for you. There's many of you who thought, man, I am not going to make it through the next day. And here you are. You're like, this is an impossible situation. And the Lord has allowed you to make it through another day when you thought it wasn't going to work, no matter what. Let's go to verse 7. It says, are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it. Have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now, here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. I look back at that and I read, Abraham, your friend forever. Your friend forever. But you know what? Isn't it awesome knowing that if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are his friend forever also. You are his friend to be called friend. Abraham talked to God when he was trying to save Sodom. He didn't just talk to him briefly. He talked to him trying to work out a deal to save it. Remember when he was saying, Lord, if there's 50 righteous people in Sodom, will you save it? God, let me bother you again. If there's 45, will you save it? And on down the line, he continued to ask God to save Sodom. He said, all right, if there's 10, will you save it? And God goes away. And we all know what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. It was destroyed. There were not 10 righteous people there. But Abraham talked to God. Moses talked to God as a friend. When he was in the temple, he talked to him as a friend. And we get to do the same thing. It's going to be awesome. I ain't going to know what to say anyway. I talk a lot now, but I stand before our Lord, I'm going to be like, it's going to be awesome. Just praising him, lifting him up, calling on him. We serve a good God. So Jehoshaphat, though, no matter what disaster comes before him, if you read in verse 9, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple. We will stand, not a little stumble in the road, not a trial, but a disaster. Not a little storm, but a disaster comes before them. We will stand before you and cry out. Why? Because you will hear us and you will save us. Why does Gilbert get upset when things don't go the way Gilbert wants them to? Ask my wife. She has all the answers. But why? Why do we get like that? Because we so quickly forget the power of our God. He loves you. He died on the cross for you. And he will do whatever he can to continue to bless you. So each one of us, again, should find comfort and encouragement in that, to be lifted up, to be strengthened when we think we have nothing left, because God will save us. Let's go to verse 11. Here they are, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. Isn't that happening in the Middle East right now? Oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Now all Judah, with their little ones, their wives, and their children, stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. Here King Jehoshaphat acknowledges again the greatness of God. Not just the greatness, but the purpose of God in bringing them to the land. And the promises of God. When they were in trouble, when the sword was threatening, they came into his house and they prayed. And he will answer. So Jehoshaphat lays it all out there for him again. Lord, here they come. The Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, they're all coming against us. They're too many for us to handle. We do not have the power to withstand them. We don't have the might to go up against them. And so he's asking God for help. God, we're facing an enemy that is stronger than we are. There are a lot of enemies out there that are stronger than we are. And the enemy, Satan, knows what darts to throw. He knows. He says, we don't know what to do, but we're looking to you for help. And that should be our prayer. How many times have you and I been in that similar situation? Again, how many times have we been there? When we thought the situation was overwhelming. There is no hope. There is no way. And we didn't know the answers. We didn't know what to do. We didn't know where to go. Finally, we turned to the Lord. Lord, my eyes are upon you. Lord, my eyes are upon you, and I'm looking to you for your wisdom. I'm looking to you for your guidance. I'm looking to you for your help, for your strength. And then we see that the Lord answers Jehoshaphat through the prophet Jehaziel. And as the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in the midst of the congregation. You and I, today, in today's world, we can learn some good lessons from these Old Testament prayers. We can learn from these people. When Jehoshaphat beseeched God for help, he struck that balance between asking the Lord to meet his needs and proclaiming his greatness. Likewise, our request, our supplications, our prayers should be the same way, with recognition of who God truly is. Again, not those hit-and-run prayers, but serious prayers where we call out to our Lord. Otherwise, the focus of our prayers can change. They can be about need. They can be about fear. They can be even be about blame. Look at Adam when he got Eve and took a bite of the fruit. What did he do? The first thing he did, it was that woman you sent me, Lord. It's your fault. See, y'all, husbands and wives are laughing because you know what I'm talking about. It's your fault I'm this way. No, it's your fault I'm this way. And we want to throw the blame game out there. Well, you need to look in the mirror. That's the person you need to blame. Uh-oh, got quiet. But that is, we need to follow the example of the Lord. We need to follow the example of King Jehoshaphat. We don't want to play the blame game. Jehoshaphat cried out, just like you and I should cry out. But he also exalted the Lord's attributes. He acknowledged the great things that he's already done. Do we acknowledge, God bless you, do we acknowledge the things that are already done in our life? Do we thank him for what he has done? We were talking about it this morning in the Bible study. Do we thank the Lord for the things that he has already done for us? Or do we thank him that instant it's over and then we move on? And we forget about it. Until we get in a hole again and then we have to start calling out again. We should be thankful for everything he's done for us all the time. So, when we pray like this, hopefully, we can become bolder when we call out to him. We can become stronger when we call out to him. We can become more forthright, just calling out for all the things that we need in our life, where we need strength at. where those bonds can be broken, where those chains can be broken. It doesn't matter, again, what it is. It could be drugs. It could be alcohol. It could be whatever. If you need those chains to be broken, then call on the name of Jesus, and he'll break them for you. But we have to call. We have to acknowledge him. That is why knowing God's word is so important. Knowing his word and what is in it. We need to know so we can walk our lives. Again, we were talking this, our walks are exactly that, walks. It's not a 100-yard dash to get to the finish line and boom, there's the Lord. It's a marathon. Every morning we wake up and we got to deal with something. Every morning we wake up, we have to deal with something. It's a marathon. And we need to seek the Lord. And when we do, we can see just a little bit of his power as he works in our lives. Just a little bit of his grace as he works in our lives. I don't think I gave it to him, but in Isaiah 54, I believe it is, where there's no weapon formed against us shall prosper. No weapon formed against us. No matter what the enemy throws against you, nothing is going to prosper against you because we serve a powerful God. There is nothing. So we can look to the Old Testament and their prayers to begin to pray in a similar way. God's wonder-working power is still available today, and he wants you and I, his children, his friends, to have access to it if we call upon him. So do you want to revolutionize your prayer life? If you focus as much attention on declaring the greatness of God and thanking our God as you do on making the request, your whole attitude will change. Your prayers will be God-centered instead of self-centered. I know there's a lot of things Gilbert prays for. And then I have to remember God Almighty. And I need to change it, make it God-centered instead of Gilbert-centered. You've heard me say it before, turn your problems to praise, turn your worries to worship, and watch God work in your life. Let's go to verse 15. And he said, listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the accent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you. So, what's God's answer to the prophet? What's he tell him? He commands them, do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. You got three armies overwhelming you? Don't be dismayed. Don't be afraid, for the battle is not yours. The battle is not yours. It is God's. You want to argue with him? His word says, the battle is not yours but God's. How awesome that should be for us to know that our Lord is going to take over the battle. And we can just sit back and watch. When God steps up in our defense, how awesome it is. Even David, King David, can you bring up those Psalms, please? It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. We will not fear. Even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, Selah. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. So why does Gilbert get upset? All we have to do is hope in the Lord. The battle is not ours. The battle is his. Again, how awesome it is to know that we are in God's strength, under him, under his umbrella. He is our defender. He is our protector. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. The battle is not yours. It's God's. He tells him, just go down tomorrow and watch the salvation of the Lord. We don't have to do anything. But how often we forget, how often I forget, the consciousness of knowing that I allow fear to take over in a situation because I forget that my Lord is with me. Because I forget his word. And then all of a sudden I become fearful and I become frightened. And then someone calls, someone prays, I get in his word, and we read how powerful our God is. And we become strengthened. And we read how strong and mighty our God is. And we are filled with hope. We are filled with encouragement. Whether it's another brother that came into your life to give you something, another sister, God will take care of your needs. We don't want to forget. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? King David, a man after God's own heart, said that. After all the great things he did, why art thou cast down? He shall deliver thee. He shall deliver thee. We try to battle things, or I'll say me. I don't know about y'all. Probably got super Christians out here. But we try to battle things or do things our way until finally we give up. When we keep failing and failing and failing, and we finally say, Lord, help me. When we should have gone to the Lord from the very beginning to ask him for his help. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. I am with you. Those words should be comforting to us all. Let's go to verse 18. And you want to bring up 1 John, please? Verse 18 says, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head and with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korathites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. And so they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Simple. Believe, trust, and praise. You want to overcome the world? You want to survive in this? Believe, trust, praise. 1 John 5:5. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? It's plain and simple. Nothing difficult about that. But then why do I forget? Why do I forget that? It should be a powerful word in each one of our lives. Here, King Jehoshaphat thought he was going to get wiped out. He thought the nation was gone. There's no hope. There's no survival. And now the Lord comes and says, hey, you know what? You're not even going to have to fight. You are not even going to have to fight against these huge armies. All we have to do is go down and get a ringside seat and be a spectator. We're going to go down and watch God fight the battle. And it's not even going to be a good one. Paul talks about these things in In Romans 8:37, he says, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. But what does that mean? What does that mean to you and I? I understand being a conqueror. You know, that would be like, you know, me going against Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan going to be the conqueror, okay? We know the results of that fight. But to be more than a conqueror, that means you already know what's going to happen, that you already have victory before you even start the battle. You have got victory in Jesus Christ before the battle even starts. Because he said, I am going to save you. Call upon me. That's all we have to do. Call upon me. You have the victory. You're rejoicing and praising in God Almighty, and you will see the accomplished work that God can do. How awesome is that? So here they are again. Their hearts, they're no longer worried. What are they doing? They're lifting up their voices in praise. They're worshiping God. They're rejoicing. Because not only is God going to defeat the enemy, he's going to destroy the enemy. And destroy means to do away with. To do away with. They are no more when he gets done. Isaiah 41:10, we were talking about this yesterday in the men's study. I didn't give it to Andrew, but I'm going to turn there real quick. Isaiah 41:10, verses 10 through 13. Because we were talking about being fearful in the study. It just happened to coincide with this. 41:10 says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Behold, all those who are incensed against you, all those who are incensed against you, not some, all the enemies that are incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced. They shall be as nothing, and those who strive with you shall perish. You shall seek them and not find them. Those who contended with you, those who war against you, shall be as nothing, as a non-existent thing, for I, the Lord, your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. So why does Gilbert get upset? Why do I so easily forget his word? I wish I had the answers because of the flesh. Let's go to verse 22. Verse 22 says, now when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So when Judah came to the place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitudes, and there were their dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. You know, the march of Judah from Jerusalem to go up to this Mount Aziz would have taken about 5 or 6 hours. Would have taken about 5 or 6 hours to get there. By the time they reached that tower, that place, the battle was over. The battle was over. They get to the top, they look down, and all they see is dead bodies strewn all over the field with valuables all around them. Imagine seriously how much there had to be for the Israel army to spend 3 days collecting all those blessings. God has fought and will continue to fight for you. God fought then, God will continue to fight and give you victory. and all the armies that are coming against you. All you have to do is be obedient. Be obedient, just like the people of Israel, just like King Jehoshaphat, and then go collect your blessings. There was riches and valuables throughout the fields, and God, the people didn't have to do anything but go collect them. The blessings were theirs for the taking, and that's all the people needed to do was go collect. When trouble loomed, the first thing Jehoshaphat did, we talked about, was turn his attention to God, proclaim a fast throughout Judah. As we read, people came from all around, all Judah, to support their king in prayer. Jehoshaphat was the king, and yet he wasn't too self-sufficient to know that he was in trouble. His army paled in comparison against the three armies coming against him. Again, though he was king and reigned over his subjects, he still called on them for prayerful support. What about you and I? Are we too proud to ask for prayer? That was the number one answer yesterday when it was at the men's study, when we brought it up. Why don't we ask for prayer? What is the number one reason that the men don't ask for prayer? Pride. King Jehoshaphat wasn't too proud to ask for prayer. He was the king over a nation, and he asked for prayer. The body of Christ, we depend on one another. We are not in this alone. We depend on one another. So when the people of Judah began to pray, God provided an answer in the trusted prophet. You and I need to seek a prayer warrior. We need to seek someone that we know is going to pray for the situation that we are in. Don't be hesitant about it. If someone comes to you and says they're struggling with whatever they're struggling with, pray with them. Don't say, okay, I'll pray for you, brother, and leave and walk off. Pray with them. They need to hear from the Lord, and he's using you at that moment. Jehoshaphat was wise enough, humble enough to listen to what the prophet had to say. And as a result, his people were saved. The whole nation was saved. The advancing armies turned against one another and destroyed one another. Without shooting an arrow, without pulling a sword, Judah's forces suffered not one casualty because their king was humble enough to listen and obey. And they witnessed the Lord's remarkable victory. And all they had to do again was go collect the blessings. How awesome is that? The Lord is telling you, do not fear. Be not dismayed. I am with you. The battle is not yours. It is mine. Let's go to verse 26. And on the fourth day they assembled in the valley of Berakah, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Berakah until this day. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem with Jehoshaphat in front of them, to go back to Jerusalem with the joy for the Lord. Who provided the joy? For the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. So they came to Jerusalem with stringed instruments and harps and trumpets to the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that, who? The Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. Then the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest all around. How awesome is that? Here they are praising the Lord. The Lord began his work and destroyed their enemies. There can be glorious victory in praise and worship. There can be. As you learn to praise the Lord and thank him for his promises, it's amazing what the Lord will do in your life. We need to take the promises of God and put them against the armies that we have to know that his word is truth and put them against whatever armies you have and watch the Lord work in your life. He is going to give us victory. He is going to give us victory. Now, I don't think we need to be praising the Lord that we're in debt because he let us get 10 credit cards and we maxed them all out. But we seriously need to be praising the Lord for what he has done in our lives. The Lord says in Philippians 4:19, says, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." And so our praises should be about the promises of God. And as we praise God for his promises, watch him work. So do we spend time praising and worshiping our Lord? Do we spend that time, or do we spend an awful lot of time complaining? Do we spend a lot of time whining? I put my name in the forefront about our circumstances, about our problems, about our lives. If we would just take that time that we spend complaining and whining and praising and worshiping, what a difference it'll be in our lives. Suddenly the whole perspective will change when we praise our Lord. As we thank him for everything that he's done in our life, for his promises, watch our attitudes change. It will go from one of fear, from one of dismay, of anxiety, to confidence, to knowing that we serve a mighty God, to know that our God is going to give us victory, and that we have that true knowledge from his word and trust that God is working in our lives. Worship team, you can go ahead and get ready to come up as we get ready to close here. So here we see, as the people praise the Lord put the ambushes around. He put them all around their enemies and destroyed them. The people looked down in the valley again and they didn't have to do anything but go collect the blessings. Remember, our Lord is the same yesterday, today, and today. If he fought for his people back then, he will fight for his people today. And we just need to know that. We need to know that. He can keep you unscathed. He can keep you unmarked in the battle that you are currently going through. He can keep you free from that. You just have to ask. Seek the Lord. The battle is his. Let him do the hard work. He can keep you surrounded by his love and his protection. No matter how many battles you've got going on in your life right now, you may have one major battle, you may have several little battles. Whatever they are, seek God. Call on him in prayer and remember that the battle is his. Praise him. Trust him. And know that God is with you. And then step back. Watch him destroy your enemies. And go collect your blessings. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning, Lord. And again, we thank you for your word, Lord. Father, we thank you for how it can touch each one of us, Lord. As always, Father, we just ask that you continue to touch our hearts, Lord, so that we can be changed when we leave here, Lord. That we not be the same person as we walked in with, Lord, because we trust you, Father, because we believe in the promises of your word, Lord, and we find encouragement and strength in that. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.